Christmas is one of my favorite times of year, so it's so good to see everybody here. I know we're a little sparsely spread. That's the word I was looking for. And some of the folks that we know and love aren't here. If you know, you haven't seen them in a couple weeks, maybe drop them a line and give them a call and say you've been thinking about them and praying for them, okay? That would be wonderful. I learned from Pastor Kim this morning how to say Merry Christmas in Korean. So I'm going to try to say it to him. Chuk Songtan. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Oh, Chuk. Sorry, Chuk Songtan. Chuk Songtan, what's your name, Kim? So that's a wonderful way to say that, isn't that? Or Feliz Navidad, the day of wonderful birth, all those wonderful things. So it's so good to see you. There's just a few announcements real quick, and we'll get rolling into the service. A birthday girl's coming up. I'm trying to think her name. She's a fiery little redhead. It's got some... Oh, it's your son's? We got that misprinted. It's Kyle. So you can wish her a happy birthday, and she'll deliver it to him. We got the Lottie Moon offering. That will be a separate offering that will get passed at the same time that the church offering, and it's in those gold buckets. So if you feel led to give more than your normal giving to the church, please do so. We do have a goal of $1,500 for that this year. The business meeting that we were scheduled to have, just a normal monthly, every quarterly meeting, has been scheduled to next Wednesday. And then in the very, very, very important, on Sunday, December 22nd, we need to come together in prayer and talk about the merging and what's going to be voting for that, okay? So I hope your heart's been leading you to prayer, to pray about it, and we'll see you there. Some of you like me, who gets a little chilly, please look at that note in the bulletin. We are setting the thermostats a little bit cooler than normal. It's just cost so much to heat this place up to a nice toasty 80. So if you need to, bring a coat, bring a sweater, a little lap blanket. That's what I get to use. And you can stay nice and toasty that way. Are there any other announcements that I might have missed? I hear a voice, yes. Okay, no evening service tonight. Speaking of special services, our candlelight service is the 24th. Is that correct, Papa? I couldn't hear you. What? Yep, at 5 o'clock. So we'll have a special candlelight service that evening. It's usually just a wonderful time to kind of gather intimately at church with our church family and sing some carols, really focus on the meaning of the season and ring it in that way, okay? So if you can, please come. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I wasn't here last Sunday, so I didn't get it down, but I wanted to express the appreciation of the youth center in Harlan for all their work
and the snacks, things that were brought in in November to help out with the ministry there. Very much appreciated, and I want to tell you thank you. And yes, thank you so much for your giving and for your love for this organization. Well, it's so good to see so many smiling faces. It's good to see ladies back there in the back. It's crazy driving around this rain and stuff in those wheelchairs, isn't it? So stay safe, okay? Because I do the same thing. It gets a little wet and slippery. I want to just highlight before we go in prayer today, Brother Rick, we love you. Pam, all these horrible things with cancer. But God has a purpose. And we love you guys, and we are praying for all of you. Okay? So that's just been on my mind today. So that's going to be my special lead into our worship this morning, okay? Dear Lord, thank you so much for being a God of love and compassion. We just ask you to wrap your arms around our loved ones and family and friends that are dealing with this horrible disease. We understand that you are in control, but sometimes it's hard to really get that near gut and feeling in your heart to understand what that means. Dear Lord, I just want to say thank you so much for Calvary Baptist Church and my family. Thank you for the loved ones that I see on the faces out in the audience and the congregation. Dear God, I just ask a special blessing on each and every family that is here and on those that are not here. Please bring them back safely. This service today is dedicated to you through our praise and our worship and the message. Please open our hearts and our minds to hear what you've got to say to us today. Please be with us as we start this service. In your precious name of Jesus, amen.
North Africa and Middle Eastern peoples live in a place where history blends with the modern world, a place of extravagant wealth and extreme poverty, a place that produces more refugees than any other place in the world, a place filled with unengaged and unreached people groups where lostness is growing every day. But this is also a place where the church is engaged in a captivating resurgence unlike any other. In an area where 65% of the world's current conflicts are happening, pray for those who are hurting, scared, or broken to find Jesus, the Prince of Peace. With many North African and Middle Eastern people relocating around the world, pray this newfound freedom will embolden them to seek the one true God, Jesus. Roughly 8 out of 10 people from Northern Africa and the Middle East use social media. Pray God will raise up local believers who will share the truth of Jesus on those platforms. Pray for God to raise up national leaders among the 802 people groups of Northern Africa and the Middle East. From the Great Commission until the Great Multitude, we will bring the gospel to every people group. This is our great pursuit.
So for the church, when I kind of had this idea of starting a church in a gym, you know, people are like, what are you doing? So when we moved to Chiang Rai, we had to study language, and I was not a very good language learner, and I was stressed out. I had even told my wife in the midst of that, I said, I'm ready to move back to America. I'm done living overseas. So I heard about this gym that was doing workouts. They had just opened 5 minutes from my house. I came and worked out, and I was exhausted. I went home, and I told my wife, I said, it's horrible. You should come too. And so she started coming, and so we saw the value in that and the community that was here. People loved to come here. They loved to hang out here. The gym was becoming a bridge from Thai culture into sharing the gospel and sharing Christ with people. And so I said, let's do church here. When we set up church, we set up boxes to sit on, and we sat on these benches. We didn't have anything. We used the equipment that we had at the gym to do church. So the first day I met Net, he had come, he had worked out, and I noticed the earring. He had a cross earring.
After workout, he asked me about my earring that I wear for like 2-3 years before I came to the gym. Like, oh, I like your earring. Are you a Christian?
He goes, no, you know, it's just fashion. And so I was able to just share with him about Christ and what the cross actually meant.
I have one day that I decide to go to church. The sermon is Prodigal Son. It's like, he's sitting there. He don't even talk about the thing that I have done to him. He give me the ring that I come back to be a shy.
he accepted Christ that week, within just a few days. He is the example that we have here at the gym of how Christ can change your life, of saying, God changed my life. I walked through these doors as a non-believer, somebody who didn't even know God, and he has completely changed my life, and he can do that for you too.
The first Noel the angels did say was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, each and every day you give us, Father. We thank you for the opportunity to come into your house this morning in your presence and worship and listen song to you and to hear your word this morning. And we pray your blessing on Pastor Mike as he delivers that this morning. We pray your blessing on our worship and our music and our fellowship as we gather here and spend this time together. And we ask that you bless this offering. Use it to your honor and glory, Father, and please magnify it to be sufficient for all of the needs of this church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We invite you to stand again.
Oh, Oh, not that I did such a good job, but I actually stayed on the right page. So that's really something. If you have your Bible, turn with me this morning to Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. I'm going to start reading in verse 26 this morning. So Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. And it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled, as he's saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How should this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be called born in thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Father, we thank you for this time. This particular time of the season is a joyful time. It is a time of interruption, a time of intervention, a time of glory, a time of surprise, a time of miracles, a time of salvation and forgiveness. Lord, as we are living in this world, it's tumultuous. Right now, there are battles and fighting going on all over the world. There are all kinds of terrible things going on in our own cities, in our own towns. There are those, Father God, this morning, that unless you intercede in their life and you touch their hearts, great disaster will befall them and those around us. Lord, you know all things. So we pray, Father God, that you would bless those who are ministering, those who are going out, the police, the EMS, all these folks, Father, who are on the street, who are ministering grace and mercy. Lord, keep them safe and use them. Lord, let the people of God in this city, in this town, and in this state, and in this world rejoice in you this day. Let the world see, even in the midst of war, there's joy. And there's peace in Jesus. For it's in his precious name I pray. Amen. One of the things that Dr. Luke, and he was a medical doctor, of course, was careful to do was when he was making his gospel, he made sure that every event he recorded, these things were true. So this is not a hope-so kind of letter. This is not a letter filled with maybe I hope I get it right. This is an inspiration of truth that God has captured for us. Use Dr. Luke to speak to our hearts and the timeless truths until Jesus comes again. You see, Christianity is not a tall tale, but it is based upon actual historical events, actual historical places by real historical people. In real time, there is really a city called Bethlehem. There is really a city called Jerusalem. I've been there. We've been there. There is in the news daily these particular places, aren't they? But look at the Bible. It is true. is not a book of fables or tall stories, but actual events in real history. And let us remember that. Real history, like at 12:30 p.m., the motorcade of the President of the United States was passing the Texas Book Depository, and a shot rang out. Bullets struck the President, JFK, and Texas Governor John Connally. President Kennedy was rushed to Parkland Memorial Hospital. Isn't that amazing? We have one right down the street here. And when the President was pronounced dead at 1 o'clock that day, the Texas Governor John Connally was also shot, and he was seriously wounded, but he did live. The Dallas police, of course, immediately and aggressively began to search, and they arrested Lee Harvey Oswald for shooting the President. On November 24th, Sunday morning, Oswald was also shot by a local nightclub owner, Jack Ruby. Oswald died 2 hours later in Parkland Hospital. I believe that all this is historically true. I believe these are true facts. But as many as you know, many today would begin to dispute those things that I said to you this morning. And they would say, well, I don't know about this. I don't think a guy could make a shot from the book's depository. I don't think he could do this. I don't think he could do that. So immediately, almost immediately, there was this rejection of and skepticism about what was true. Now, if I just recounted that, what I thought to you was basically true. There were those who were saying that day and shortly thereafter, none of those things were true. Isn't that amazing? Many would agree, of course, that President Kennedy did die, yet they would reject the details of how he died. It is true. It is a historical fact. Many answer this and say, well, I believe it's true, but I'm not certain of all the things that were happening. The point I'm trying to make this morning is that Dr. Luke is reporting the greatest historical event that ever took place in mankind. Mary and Joseph were just everyday, ordinary people. But all that changed in an instant when a visit of an angel called Gabriel. Now, there would be almost immediately somebody, angel Gabriel, oh my gosh. We don't believe in angels. Certainly not one would have a name like Gabriel. They would begin to dispute that. This angel, though, was sent from God Almighty unto a city in Galilee. Oh, there's a city in Galilee. Did you know that? That's named Nazareth. And already Luke's report runs into difficulties because the messenger was an angel. Many people don't believe in angels. They just automatically, a priori, strike that out. Not possible. There's no such thing. They don't believe in virgins. I'm thinking today myself, maybe that is becoming a very rare thing. Oh, listen, when God Almighty steps in to history, the things he does are labeled miraculous because it goes beyond our understanding and our comprehension of what can happen and should happen, and the settings and the places are all there for us to see and witness, but we hold in our hearts a doubt. We don't doubt that there is a place in Nazareth. Don't doubt those kind of things. What we doubt is that God acts and God moves. The Bible tells us that God, Almighty, Jehovah, is self-existent one. He doesn't really depend upon whether you believe in him or not. He would like to bring to you a great gift of salvation, which you put your faith and trust in him. But he does not require that of you in the sense of using his power to bend your will. Isn't that amazing? Now, we know that Mary and Joseph were just humble little people. They believed in El Shaddai, God Almighty. Nothing they believed was too difficult for him because they were brought up in the household and in the traditions of Israel and the traditions of the stories that were told unto them from Bible sources. From childhood then, they were taught that Israel's God is God. You see, in their lives, And in their historical setting, there were many gods. All kinds of gods. Some good, some bad. But there were many gods. But Israel was taught there's one God and one God only. And Mary and Joseph believed that this was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who then was speaking to them as if God had done these things at all. He is a sufficient supplier of every need. El Shaddai is the source of every blessing and fruitfulness of life. When El Shaddai speaks, the outcome is assured. Faith and hope are anchored in him. If you place your faith and hope in anything else, you're standing on shifting sand. You're standing on a precipice from which you're going to fall, and the fall of that will be great, and the fall of it will be disaster. Peace and joy are promised to all those who believe and receive the truth of the gospel. Life springs forth from him even when it seems impossible. Over there in Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 10, Abram was 99 years old. 99 years old. I'm probably the oldest guy in here. Is anybody in here that's 90? Nobody 90? So certainly there's not anybody 99. Do you know anybody who's lived to be 90? Oh, okay. So it's not impossible, huh? Tom, are you sure this guy was really 90 or this lady? Whoa! Fantastic. You see, these numbers, they baffle us. These numbers astound us. Especially when we're 20 years old and somebody talks about somebody being 90 years old, we go, oh my goodness. But listen, 99 years old, Abram was, when El Shaddai appeared unto him saying, I will make thee the father of many nations. Now, Abraham had been sitting around all day with his little clay tablet and his stylus. He was thinking, how can I be a great man? Let me see. Is that the case? No, not at all. God came to him. All this information, he never once thought about any of these things. Never once planned these things. Abraham was 99. His wife, Sarah, was 89. They had no children. You say, well, of course they didn't. Somebody 99 and somebody 89, they didn't have any children. Well, they weren't always 99. They weren't always 89. But they still had no children. Yet God Almighty came to Abraham, and he told Abraham that he's going to bring a child into his life. Where there were no children, where there was barrenness. You know, in our society, we go to these places called Planned Parenthood. We go to these places called abortion mills. And what do we do with our babies? We kill them. Are we crazy or what? Have we been so deceived that the most blessed thing that could happen to a man and a woman is having a child and being able to love it and raise it and care for it and all the struggles that take place therein? This is a great blessing. But God came to Abraham and said, I'm going to make you a great nation. You're going to be a father of many nations. Psalms 91 says and that we have the security that we have in God. Let me see if I can. Do we have that one up, Lou? Yeah, there it is. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, so abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I will trust. Surely he shall deliver thee Isn't this amazing? For the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wing shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night. You know, sometimes we don't recognize it. You may be somebody like that. There are probably hundreds and thousands of people who leave lights on every night. They leave a light on. Terror by night. Nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, for the destruction that wasted at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh to thee. That's, none of that's going to come close to you. Only thine eye shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh unto thy dwelling, for thou shalt give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. A lion, we understand, adder's a snake, it's a poisonous snake. The young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under thy feet, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. God knows your name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him, and he honor him with long life. And I shall satisfy him and show him my salvation. Isn't that, that's a promise from God. Security, promise, bountifulness. All those things come from God. I stand here this morning before you, and somebody told me I was 76. Is that right? Is it right? Okay. All right, I'll take their word for it. 76. I have noticed certain things over the years. Sometimes when I get up in the morning, I swing my legs over the bed, I start to stand up, and my knees go, eh. Just a few days ago, I was so energetic, I suppose, I swung my legs over the bed and stood up. And those little things that are in your ears, they just went, bleep, 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 and I was dizzy, dizzy, dizzy. Have anybody ever done that? Yeah, that's really cool, isn't it? Yeah. And they tell us these little things are in your ears. Have you ever seen them? I've never seen them either. Matthew tells us of an incident that happened in Jesus' ministry that is so surprising to us. It tells us in Matthew 19:24 that there was a rich young ruler who came to Jesus. And he was questioning Jesus. And Jesus asked him a few questions. And then told the rich young ruler, one thing thou lackest. I had everything going for him. One thing thou lackest. And Jesus said, go and sell all that you have. Give it to the poor and come follow me. There are people today who will be sitting in outdoor football stadiums. It's yucky weather out there. It's cold out there. It's raining out there. It's snowing out there. And they're sitting in an outdoor stadium. It's snowing on them. It's raining on them. And they paid $150 to sit there or more. What kind of goofballs are this? Have they never heard of television? They can watch it on television. They want to be there. They want to be there. Listen. The rich young ruler had everything going for him except one thing. His trust was in the material things that he had. those material things can go away just that fast. And he went away sad because he was not willing to follow the instructions that Jesus had given him. Somebody then asked Jesus something, and Jesus said, listen, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, Jesus' disciples, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, then, who can be saved? You see, they were all involved in the everydayness of life. Material wealth and material prosperity and all those kind of things. Those are the things that are important in life. It's amazing, isn't it? Have you ever heard of a guy named Frank Sinatra? Yeah. The Rat Pack. Him and his buddies. Couldn't get any higher musically than him. But I read when Frank Sinatra, just like, what was the newsman that was on NBC so long? His name was Jennings or something like that? Peter Jennings. He was very sick for a long time. And the Lord was gracious and put a nurse into his staff who shared with him Jesus. He was dying. There was nothing they could do. There wasn't any doctors that he couldn't have seen. There wasn't any medications he couldn't have taken. He was dying. There was nothing that they could do about that. And I'm told in the story that I read that the nurse that he had on that last day, in those last hours, he asked her, why are you so content? I suspect he was thinking, you have nothing, I have everything. You're content and I'm not. How does this be? How does this be? And she shared with him that she had given her life to Christ. That Jesus was Lord of her life. And then she said, would you like to have Jesus as Lord of your life? The story I read said he was hesitant. She had to go over it again. She presented that truth again and asked him, do you want Jesus in your life? I don't know what his heart condition was. I know he was lost up to that moment. I don't know what God did and how he convicted and how he drew him. But he said, yes, I want Jesus. And she prayed with him. He prayed out loud after her, just like so many people do. Thousands and tens of thousands have. And when she put his hand down in his bed and turned around to give him his medication and turned back, he was dead. You know what I think? The most important thing in his whole life happened in that last instance of his life. His wealth could do him no good. His fame could do him no good. His power as a news pervert could do him no good. And so he placed his faith and trust in Jesus. Now somebody might say, oh my goodness, that's terrible. The guy was a reprobate all of his life, going around doing all these terrible things, spending his money, wasting his time, wasting his money, never was generous, never was any of those kind of things. And then at the very last moment on his deathbed, God saves him. Yes! Because God is gracious. God doesn't see things the way we see things. God loved him like he loves you and he loves me. And he paid the price that we could have that intercession and relationship with him. All men, everywhere, nobody has to perish. Jesus said, the rich man, too many things stand in his way. He said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Scripture says, and when the disciples heard this, they were exceedingly amazed and said, who then can be saved? See, they missed the whole thing. They missed the whole thing. Jesus, beholding them, said this most relevant, powerful thing. He said, with men, this is impossible. But with God, what? All things are possible. Aren't you glad? The rich man, for one second of his whole life, trusted and was saved. You know, Mary and Joseph were not rich in any particular material way that I know anything about. But they were rich in faith. Oh, friends, I know it's hard, that truth is hard for us to grasp. And it's even harder for us to understand. Now listen, with God, that's the caveat, with God, nothing is impossible. Nothing. I read a story about Alexander the Great. I always like warriors and all these great things historically. And Alexander was pretty good at what he did. But he also understood that sometimes there are things that you have to do that are not just men and horses and shields and lances and all those kind of things. But there's a psychological part of that warfare. And for one battle, and I could never find this out exactly, because he didn't lose many times. He was being beaten. And his generals were telling him, we've got to withdraw, or we're going to be annihilated. Alexander's a great. What? Things weren't going good that day. So they were forced to retreat. And he gave his men this weird instruction. He says, immediately start pounding your shields and your armor into new shields and new armor. They were losing. They were getting ready to leave. Getting ready to run. They didn't need no armor. They didn't know helmets. They didn't know that kind of stuff. And start making these shields twice as big as normal. Take those helmets and pull them apart and take two and make one so that the helmet that would be found was twice as big as a normal helmet. What he was hoping was that when the advancing army that was pushing him back and was really ready to deliver the coup de grace, the blow that would end his life and his career, would find these things laying on the battlefield. And they would say, this shield is one of his guys? this helmet is one of his guys? Maybe we shouldn't advance. We should just not press our luck any more than it has been and retreat and get out of here, because he commands giants. Listen, God commands giants. We're giants. We're giants. The world doesn't know what to do with us. We're giants of faith. Satan, of course, likes to use psychological warfare too, doesn't he? He's a defeated foe. He knows that better than anybody else. But he nevertheless goes around, Paul says, like a roaring lion, whom he may devour. He wants to scare us. We need to remember that the Lord Jesus came to overcome death, hell, and the grave. Jesus is bigger than any situation that we encounter. Remember what the angel Gabriel said to Mary? Mary and Joseph were thinking, you came to the wrong house, buddy. He said, with God, nothing is impossible. You know, back, Europe had been conquered by the Nazis. France had been conquered in 6 days. In 6 days. No wonder Hitler was going around with a step in his walk that was unbelievable. But they needed to understand that Hitler had not won. Actually, he was so spread out. He was all the way from France to the English Channel, halfway into Russia, you name it, all over the place. His troops were everywhere. And he was just about ready to get a bloody nose. And he can blame the Japanese for that. Because you see, the United States did not declare war against Germany. Did you know that? We didn't do that. The Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor December 7, 1941. And it was such a successful raid and those kind of things that the Allies to the Japanese were the Germans. And the Germans then decided, well, we must necessarily support our allies, which is just about ready to kick the United States in the can. And they declared war on us. Were we ready for a war? No. But once the engine of productivity in the United States started to move, and they put into operation certain things, Hudson. Anybody know this? Does anybody know what a Hudson car is? It was actually a pretty nice car. President Roosevelt put him in charge of making ships. He didn't know anything about making ships. He made some cars, but he didn't know anything about making ships. So he brought his men together and he said, "Listen, we've got to make ships. The Pacific Ocean is huge. We've got to make ships to take the war to the Japanese." And he started to do something. He started to make ships like he made cars. He set up assembly lines and production lines. I don't mean to say that he made a ship in one day. But what I do mean to say is, once he got that production line up and running, he made a ship a day. Flooding the Pacific with ships and also the Atlantic. He geared up a production of war machinery like the world has never seen before. And we don't know really if Yamamoto said that or not, but he said after he had attacked Pearl Harbor, he said, "I fear that all we have done is woke a sleeping giant." That's exactly what he did. We were awakened that the world needs us. The production that we can have, the power that we can string to defeat the Germans and the Japanese. And we did it. And we did it. Jesus was a very common name in his day. The name means the Lord saves. The scripture tells us in Luke, "He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom there shall be no end." And remember, back there in Genesis, when Sarah heard that she was going to have a baby, she did what? Yeah. I think we need to see another doctor. This guy doesn't know what's going on. But Genesis 18:14 ends that narrative by saying this really small, very important, tremendously powerful scripture. It says, "Is there anything too hard for God?" Oh my, you brought God into the picture. You got him on your side. Job says, "I know that thou can do everything." Jeremiah says, "O Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and an outstretched arm, and there's nothing too hard for you." That's our heritage as biblical people. That's our heritage. There's no promise of God so wonderful that he cannot keep. Paul states over in Romans 4:21, it says, "And being fully persuaded that what he has promised, he is able to perform." So when God told Mary and Joseph, "Listen, you guys are going to have a little baby, and this little baby's going to rule the world, be the savior of the world," God wasn't mincing words or being extravagant. He was just telling the truth. Friends, listen today. There is no sin too evil, too bad, too large that God cannot overcome through the blood of Jesus Christ, his only Son, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Nothing. The blood of Christ cleanses from all unrighteousness, it says. All means past, present, and future. That's why we're celebrating. Not this Santa Claus thing. I'm not trying to be, you know, down, but he's got nothing. It's not Santa Claus. It's not presidents under the tree. It's Jesus, the great I Am, bringing light and hope to a dark world, moving to bring salvation, moving to bless his people, moving to bring redemption. You see, Jesus said the rich man can't be saved. They thought, "No, this is terrible." Then Jesus said, "Now listen, the things which are impossible with men, they're possible with God." What are the things that are impossible with men, but possible with God? Jeremiah 13:21 says, "Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Can the leopard his spots? It's impossible." Paul says, "We cry out, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Jesus is the answer to that question. He's the one who can deliver. Matthew 1:21 says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and you're going to call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Paul says over in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." The things which are impossible with men are really quite possible and doable with God. And here's the key to man's hope. It's simple, but yet overpowerful. When we place our faith and trust in Jesus, the cross, the resurrection, God transforms us by that power. And it's a gift. You can't buy it, you can't earn it, but you can receive it. All we need to do is open up our hearts and our hands and receive it. Remember little David over in 1 Samuel 17:41? David, of course, killed Goliath with a slingshot and a stone. Remember when David went out to face Goliath? What does the Bible say about Saul, who's the first king of Israel? He's head and shoulders taller than any man in Israel. He's the biggest guy they got. And where's he at? He's in his tent, cowering with fear as Goliath prowls up and down, challenging Israel to come. I don't know. I don't think this is actually scriptural, but my grandmother put it this way. God sent David with lunch for his brothers. David thought he was going to deliver lunch to his brothers. It was exciting to him. He was going to get to go forward into the war zone. It was all that stuff that he had in his mind. God sent David not worried about lunch, but to deliver Israel from the Philistines. And he did it with this little slingshot. Have you ever made one of those? My cousin and I made one of those. My grandmother's house was kind of up on the hill and had lots of rocks there. We did reach down there and we tried to sling the rocks across the road, the highway out there. Matter of fact, the roadmen came by and asked my grandmother what was happening. Because there was a spring at the bottom of the hill down there, and they would stop and get water to put in their jugs. It was running nice, good, cool water, fresh. And they were wondering how all these rocks got on the road. And my grandmother said, "I think I know how they might have got there. We were slinging those rocks, man. We were slinging them. I don't know if we could hit Goliath, but we did hit the road." Listen, nothing is impossible for God. He likes to do what we think is impossible. There are things that are definitely impossible with us. But nothing is impossible with us when we're walking with the Lord. Father, thank you for this time up here. Well, it's cluttered, it's busy, it's all those kind of things. But the central focus is the same. It's the birth of a baby who's going to bring salvation, not just to Israel, but to the whole world. No one could have saw that, but that was your plan. Father, we're ambassadors for you here. We've got the privilege of telling the world about Jesus again and again and again. Some have never heard. And the spirit and power that's unleashed when we tell that gospel truth changes hearts and minds. Help us to be the people that you're well pleased with, serving you, going, worshiping, teaching, preaching, witnessing who Jesus is. We never have to apologize for Jesus.
Lord, even this day, we will go from this place, but we're going out as an army that has a task. And the world is more receptive right now than they usually are, period. Bless, move, use us, bless us. For these things I ask in that highest name under heaven, the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand and say, I think we have an invitation. If you have something to make public today, maybe you just need to come up here and pray. I don't know. You can use these steps as an altar, whatever it might be. You respond to God this morning, okay?
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free.
But Lord, we pray, Father, as we leave this place today, that we will be re-energized. We will be refocused. We will have an injection of joy in our lives. It will burn bright for you. And people will say, hey, what's up with you? What's different with you? And the door will be flung wide open to say Jesus to the world. For these things I ask in his precious name. Amen and amen. Turn that right or left and shake that hand with that neighbor this morning.